follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish. Increasingly dire ecological damage and severe impacts of the climate crisis are pushing the natural world towards a mass extinction event unparalleled since the age of the dinosaurs, conservationists in Germany warned recently, with humanity possibly facing self-annihilation if behaviors do not change. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Julia Conley, journalist. This article is published under the heading, Within Decade, Planet's Natural World Facing Largest Mass Extinction Event Since Dinosaurs. Stay tuned for more. Increasingly dire ecological damage and severe impacts of the climate crisis are pushing the natural world towards a mass extinction event unparalleled since the age of the dinosaurs. Conservationists in Germany warned recently, with humanity possibly facing self-annihilation if behaviors do not change. Releasing its annual winners and losers list recently, the World Wildlife Fund's German branch said 40,000 of the 142,500 species listed on the red list of the threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature are threatened with extinction. The red list is now longer than it has ever been since the IUCN began cataloging threatened species in 1964. More than 40% of amphibians, 27% of shark and ray species, a third of reef-building corals, and more than a quarter of all mammals on the red list are threatened with extinction. At the current rate of species loss, around 1 million species could go extinct within the next decade, which would be the largest mass extinction event since the end of the dinosaur age, WWF Germany said in a statement. With planet-heating atmospheric carbon dioxide emissions reaching a record high this year, contributing to drought, habitat loss, extreme weather, and health problems in humans, as well as other species, the organization noted that humans should view the extinction crisis as one that could affect them directly. Species conservation is no longer just about defeating an environmental problem, but is rather about the question of whether or not humanity will eventually end up on the red list in an endangered category, and thereby become a victim of its own lifestyle, WWF Germany director Eberhard Brandes said. He added, if the earth is sick, so will the people, because we depend on vital ecosystems and biodiversity for our own safe and healthy life. ¶¶ The losers on WWF's list include the polar bear, which is already suffering from the erosion of its Arctic habitat as the northern region becomes warmer. The Arctic Ocean could be completely free of ice by 2035 at the current rate of loss, making it increasingly difficult for the bears to find food. Sharks and rays also made the list, the result of overfishing, habitat loss, and the climate crisis. A third of all sharks and rays in the oceans were classified as threatened in 2021, the WWF said. African forest elephants have been considered critically endangered for the first time this year, as their population in Central and West Africa has plummeted by 86% in the past 3 decades. The inclusion of 40,000 species on the IUCN's list of threatened species represents a major acceleration of biodiversity loss. In 2010, 17,300 species were considered to be under threat, according to The Guardian. The WWF's list of winners this year includes bearded vultures, which have benefited from a resettlement program in the last 30 years that's resulted in more than 300 of the birds now living in the Alpine region. The Iberian lynx, whose population has increased more than tenfold in the past 18 years, and Siamese crocodiles in Cambodia. 8 young crocodiles were found by researchers this year, marking the first time in more than a decade that the species has reproduced in nature. Branda said the winners of the list show that there are still opportunities for species protection. If we implement effective nature conservation measures, we can protect plants, animals, and ultimately the climate.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
China has harshly warned Chinese Taipei against making moves towards independence. Beijing says it will take drastic measures if the self-governed island crosses red lines. Chinese officials say provocation by separatist forces in Taiwan and, quote, external intervention could intensify in coming months. Foreign ministry officials say China is willing to try its utmost to seek peaceful reunification with Taipei, but would act if any red lines on independence were crossed.
Well, crossing the red lines for China would mean that Taiwan would declare independence. And it would be, in reality, would be against Taiwan's constitution. In order to change Taiwan's constitution, it would need us all to pass a referendum, which would need to have an approval of 75% of the legislative chamber. So at this stage, Taiwan's declaring independence, it's very unlikely.
Earlier in December, China's foreign minister stressed the need for Taipei to be reunited with Beijing, saying the self-ruled island is not a chess piece to be used by others. Wang Yi said the root cause of the new round of tensions lies with the island's authority that have attempted to solicit U.S. support for Taiwan independence. He also accused the United States and certain countries of deliberately using Taipei to contain Beijing. The top Chinese diplomat described Taipei's ambitions for independence as perverse actions and said the moves designed to change the status quo undermine peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait and violate the consensus of the international community as well as the basic norms governing international relations. China has sovereignty over Chinese Taipei, and under the One China policy, almost all the world countries recognize that sovereignty. The US too recognizes Chinese sovereignty over the island, but has long courted Taipei in defiance of Beijing.
If you look at the largest companies, Taiwanese companies such as Foxconn and Pegatron, they have most of their workforce in the mainland. So it would be just an economical suicide for Taiwanese just to declare independence. And it's very unlikely. Independence is a planted idea by the US against China and Taiwan's interest.
The United States, which backs Taipei's secessionist president, continues to sell weapons to the island in violation of its own stated policy. After the Communist Party seized power in mainland China in 1949, the US refused to recognize it as a rightful government in China. Instead, the US had an embassy in Taipei. In the 1970s, Washington and Beijing decided to establish formal ties in a bid to create a counterbalance to the Soviet Union. And at the start of 1979, the US gave formal diplomatic recognition to the communist-run People's Republic of China and cut ties with Taipei. In doing so, Washington recognized the PRC as the sole legal government of China. It also acknowledged Beijing's position that there is only one China and that Taipei is part of it. After the US cut off formal relations with Taipei, Congress passed the Taiwan Relations Act. It has underpinned US ties towards the island ever since.
Well, the US policy regarding Taiwan is what they call a strategic ambiguity. It is officially respecting the One China policy, but in action, the US has clearly been undermining the One China policy by meddling into Taiwanese politics. The US has groomed President Tsai Ing-wen since 2004.
In recent years, the US has made China a top priority. The measure, known as the Pivot to Asia policy, was unveiled during Obama's administration and made East Asia and China in particular a top priority of the US foreign policy. The Trump administration dramatically upped the ante against China. Back in October, US President Joe Biden said the United States would come to Taipei's aid if it were to come under attack from China, claiming it had a commitment to defend the self-ruled island.
So, besides that, the US has been investing massively into Taiwanese politics and media through NED, the National Endowment for Democracy, which is the rebranded name for the CIA.
China blasted the statement, accusing Washington of meddling in Chinese internal affairs. The US and China are also at loggerheads over a number of issues, including trade and the South China Sea.
The United States in 2021.
Chaos broke out very early in 2021 in the United States. Less than a week into the new year, the world was shocked by footage showing thousands of Americans besieging and storming the Capitol building in the heart of Washington, D.C. The reason? They wanted to stop the certification of Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election. Many called it an insurrection. Rarely has the world witnessed with such clarity the inherent division in the US political system. What may previously have been a crack in the country's democracy now turned into a wide chasm. On January 13th, a week after the riots, Donald Trump became the first sitting US president to be impeached twice. The House of Representatives began the trial of the controversial figure after he adamantly refused to concede election defeat and incited his fan to march on the Capitol and quote, "stop the steal." However, In yet another sign of the failure of the political duopoly, the Republican-held Senate did not find Trump guilty. Just like the first impeachment proceeding against him on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. On January 20th, Biden took office. The veteran Democrat, while on the campaign trail, had tried his best to demonize the incumbent leader and distance himself from his policies. By taking his place at the Oval Office, Biden towed Trump's line on multiple fronts. The Biden administration obediently followed its predecessor's maximum pressure campaign against Iran. Despite numerous pledges, it refused to stop supporting Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. Biden even blatantly backtracked on his promise to change the U.S. approach towards migrants. People trying to cross into the U.S. faced even more hardship, and those who could get through suffered severe abuse. But that's not all. Getting COVID-19 under control was another pledge that Biden had made. But after almost a year in office, the U.S. remains on top in terms of both infections and death rates. In late December, COVID fatalities reached more than 800,000, but many Americans remained reluctant to get vaccinated as they do not trust their government. During the current administration, rampant gun violence was a major issue for many Americans. Moreover, little has been done to stop global warming, even though the U.S. rejoined the Paris Climate Accord, which Trump had quit. 2021 has not been a good year for civil rights either. Racial equality remains a distant dream for African Americans, despite a long jail term given to Derek Chauvin, a white officer who had violently killed a black man in the previous year. In September, bipartisan negotiations over a police reform bill collapsed. For now, it seems that minorities will still have to live in fear of police brutality.
Canada in 2021.
The United States' northern neighbor, Canada, also experienced a chaotic 2021. In May and June, authorities found nearly 1,200 bodies of Indigenous children buried in unmarked mass graves. The grim discovery refreshed the historical plight of the First Nation Canadians. The children of these communities were forcibly separated from their families during the 19th and 20th centuries and taken to infamous residential church schools where many of them suffered abuse and torture and many others went missing. The scandal rocked Canada's self-proclaimed image of human rights defender. A cultural genocide was what an investigative commission concluded, saying thousands had died and many were subjected to physical and sexual abuse at church-run schools in Canada. In 2021, Canada also saw continued protests calling for justice for thousands of missing or murdered Indigenous women. According to the Native Women's Association of Canada, Indigenous women are three times more likely to experience violence during the course of their life than their non-native counterparts. The damning figure is a clear sign of the deep-rooted colonialism worsened by state inaction. The country also experienced an unprecedented heat wave in the past year, which led to the death of hundreds of people. Wildfires burned for months throughout much of Canada, making it the third worst wildfire season on record. Flooding was another natural disaster that prompted authorities in the Canadian Pacific Coast province of British Columbia to declare a state of emergency in November.
Negotiators of Iran and the P4+1 group have returned to their countries for a New Year break. They began their eighth round of talks this year on Monday. They will return to the Austrian capital on January the 3rd. On Thursday, as delegations were preparing to leave Vienna, Iran's chief negotiator to the talks, Ali Bagheri-Kani, said good progress had been made regarding sanctions removal during negotiations with the P4+1 group over the past days. He said the eighth round of the negotiations mainly focused on that issue. Iran's top negotiator also expressed hope that after a few days of recess, more serious work would be pursued on the issue of sanctions removal. The Islamic Republic has emphasized that if the other parties continue the negotiations in good faith, an agreement is within reach. Senior diplomats from Iran, China, Russia, Britain, France, and Germany are trying to find a way to remove sanctions against the Islamic Republic and allow the United States to return to the 2015 agreement. Tehran insists that the U.S., which unilaterally withdrew from the deal in 2018, must remove sanctions in a verifiable manner and provide credible guarantees that it will not violate its commitments again. Iran insists that the lifting of sanctions in a verifiable manner and guarantees are two issues that have to be addressed during the talks.
Because the United States in 2015 did not abide by its key commitments, the United States was supposed to normalize Iranian trade, and the same is true with the Europeans. They were supposed to facilitate the normalization of Iranian business and trade across the globe, but they did the exact opposite.
The United States' unilateral withdrawal from the 2015 agreement has definitely taught Iranians a lesson. All sides in Vienna have stressed that they will do their utmost to expedite the negotiation process. Iran says that it seeks a definitive result through the ongoing talks, emphasizing that Vienna negotiations must end in removal of sanctions. When will that happen? Russia's ambassador to international organizations in Vienna says he believes that an agreement could be clinched before the end of February 2022. Mikhail Yulianov said nobody can say precisely and accurately when an agreement will emerge, but the most important thing is that steady progress is being made. Speculations are rife as to when an agreement will finally emerge. This is reminiscent of the weeks and months before the deal was announced in mid-July 2015. Negotiators of Iran and P4+1 now have to go through a similar exhausting process, all because of the American unilateral withdrawal. The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden has acknowledged that the pullout was a grave mistake. It has also expressed interest in returning to the agreement. Yet, it is still enforcing the sanctions that were imposed by former President Donald Trump, and has refused to lift any of them as a goodwill gesture.
Biden is not a person who shows goodwill. He is, as expected, pursuing Trump's policy of maximum pressure. He is strangling ordinary people as much as possible. These are crimes against humanity, but for Biden, that's fine.
Iran has definitely no illusions about unending American hostility, no matter who is in the White House. Observers believe it has every right to push for verifiable removal of sanctions and credible guarantees from the U.S.
Israel is pressing ahead with its land grab and expansionist policies. On Sunday, Israel's Prime Minister Naftali Bennett announced new plans to almost double the number of Israeli settlers in the occupied Golan Heights. The $317 million plan aims to build 7,300 new settler units in the occupied territory over a five-year time span. Currently, 25,000 Israeli settlers are staying in the Golan Heights. The new plan will attract 23,000 others to the area. The Syrian Foreign Ministry condemned the decision as a dangerous and unprecedented escalation. It has described Israel's settlement construction policy as a war crime, noting that Damascus will use any means permitted by international law to return the Golan Heights to its homeland. Israel captured Syria's Golan Heights in the closing stages of the regime's 1967 war on Arab nations and annexed the occupied territory in 1981, in a move that was not recognized by the international community.
Ever since the very foundation of the Zionist regime back in 1947, everything that the Israeli government has achieved has been at the expense of international law and by means of aggression against the Palestinian people and all of its Arab neighbors. So there's nothing new in Israel's attempt to colonize the Golan Heights.
The UN Security Council, in its resolution 497, adopted unanimously in December 1981, declared the Israeli decision, quote, null and void and without international legal effect. Regardless of that, former U.S. President Donald Trump recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Syrian territory in 2019.
Toward the end of Donald Trump's office in late 2020, several Arab nations, including Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, signed U.S.-brokered normalization deals with Israel in rapid succession. The countries claimed that their moves would benefit the Palestinian people and help establish peace in the region. Only months later, however, Israel escalated the pressure on Palestinians in the West Bank and launched a devastating 11-day war on the Gaza Strip. The war claimed over 240 Palestinian lives, many of them were children. The recently announced settlements in the occupied Golan Heights are yet another proof that normalization with Israel not only didn't help the oppressed, but only emboldened Tel Aviv to violate international law with impunity. The United States has played an instrumental role in that. As the Israeli Prime Minister said, U.S. President Joe Biden has made it clear that there won't be a change in Trump's policy toward the Golan Heights under his term, practically giving the regime carte blanche to press ahead with its illegal activities.
At the time when Trump announced that he was going to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and later to recognize Israel's annexation of the West Bank and the Golan Heights, many people in this part of the world, even in Canada, thought that when the Democrats came to power, when Biden came to power, that he would reverse these policies and he would move the embassy back and take away the U.S. approval over Israel's annexations. But in fact, that did not happen, and Biden is continuing Trump's policies in all respects, whether it's on Palestine or whether it's on the Saudi war against Yemen.
Israel's strikes on Syrian soil are another example of the moves, but Syria's repeated complaints to the international community appear to have fallen on deaf ears. That has prompted speculations about a possible Israeli-Syrian war. There's no denying that the Golan Heights will remain a part of Syria, but the silence of international community and the support for Tel Aviv have proven to lead to none other than more death and destruction.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
If the truth is not clarified today, the place of the oppressors and the oppressed will be changed. December 12, 2021. This is the part of a speech delivered on December 12, 2021, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in meeting with a number of nurses and the families of those martyred while working in the health profession.
When Yazid made those nonsensical, ludicrous remarks, Hadhrat Zainab alayhi salam replied in an interesting way. She made this well-known, truly historical statement. Use every trick that you have. Use every trick that you know and every deception you can. But by God, you will not be able to erase our memory. In today's language, this means do whatever awful things you can. But you cannot make people forget about us. Whom does she say this to? To the arrogant, proud, tyrannic, bloodthirsty Yazid. This shows the inner strength of a woman. What strength is this? What greatness is this? These qualities are a sign of wisdom and prudence. Those statements were made in a calculated manner, but when she addresses the people, she does not express her strength. Instead, she makes critical remarks, explaining things and blames people who do not know what they have done and what they should have done.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
When Hadhrat Zainab delivered a speech in Kufa, the people began to cry. In response, Zainab alayhi salam said, "Are you crying? May your tears never stop, and may your moans and groans never end." In other words, she tells them, "What are these tears? Do you know what you have done?" Then she says, "You are like a woman who undoes her weaving after having tied it firmly. You have destroyed all your past effort." She spoke in this way, "I find it highly probable that one of the important reasons behind the movement of Al-Tawabin, the repenters, who later rose up in Kufa and launched the great movement, was the sermon delivered by Hadhrat Zainab alayhi salam." This is the first point about Hadhrat Zainab alayhi salam.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
In the limelight.
Britain's small businesses should expect trade with the European Union to be permanently damaged from 1st of January 2022, the Refrigerated Supply Chain Trade Body has said, after new customs checks take effect that it says will make imports from the bloc more expensive, less flexible and much slower. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Philip Inman. The piece is titled, New Year Brexit changes permanently damage European Union trade, says Food Body. Britain's small businesses should expect trade with the European Union to be permanently damaged from 1st of January 2022, the Refrigerator Supply Chain Trade Body has said, after new customs checks take effect that it says will make imports from the bloc more expensive, less flexible and much slower. Amid growing public dismay at the negative impact of Brexit, the Cold Chain Federation, the CCF, said specialty food imports could face the same 70% decline that affected exports of food by small businesses this year after Britain quit the European Union's single market and customs union. Extra costs that amount to £300 to £400 for each consignment will mean sales of food to the European Union countries in small batches could become uneconomic, said the Cold Chain Federation, which lobbies on behalf of firms that transport frozen and chilled goods. The big casualty of these trade barriers is the businesses that need to import small and frequent quantities across borders. A pallet load of specialty cheeses or boxes of onion powder. This is the sort of trade that is going to suffer, said Shane Brennan, the Federation's chief executive. Business groups have called on the government to soften its stance in negotiations with the European Union to prevent a collapse in trade with the 27-member bloc. But while ministers have agreed to extend the deadline for veterinary checks on food crossing the border, there has been little progress on cutting red tape. Mike Cherry, the chair of the Federation of Small Businesses, said a survey in the autumn showed only a quarter of firms were prepared for the introduction of full import checks. We don't have any indication that the level of preparedness has improved, especially as the festive trading season has seen so disrupted yet again, he said, adding that one in five small firms that do business internationally have given up selling to clients in the European Union since the transition period on exports ended. Rising food prices have played a large part in the increase in inflation over the past 6 months, and economists fear higher import charges will push up prices further, forcing the Bank of England to increase interest rates at a faster pace than anticipated. The Consumer Prices Index reached 5.2% in November and is expected to rise above 6% in the spring as higher food import costs and an increase in gasoline prices push up the cost of living. This week, Simon Spurrell, a co-founder of the Cheshire Cheese Company, said the hard Brexit push through by Boris Johnson was the biggest disaster that any government has ever negotiated in the history of trade negotiations. Cheesemakers are among the subsectors of the food and drink industry to be hardest hit by new trade barriers. UK food and drink exports to the European Union fell by as much as 24% in the first 9 months of 2021, according to figures from the Food and Drink Federation, which said the slump helped knock the sector's exports by £2.7 billion between January and September, compared with pre-pandemic levels. The Cold Chain Federation's chief executive, Shane Brennan said exports that occupy only a fraction of a container had suffered the most from extra customs checks on exports, and that was likely to be repeated when checks also apply to imports. Brennan said importers would need to satisfy safety rules, provide customer declarations, and have the necessary paperwork to ensure goods move through ports. And all these must be synchronized to prevent things from even getting slower, he said. Cherry said unless the government steps in with more support, the situation is set to worsen. The Institute of Directors said its economic confidence index had tumbled from minus 6 in November to minus 17 this month, a sign of nervousness among business owners about the United Kingdom's economic prospects. It said three-quarters of company directors in Britain expect costs to rise in the next 12 months, and most said they would raise prices to either fully or partially offset the rising costs. The Trades Union Congress, the TUC, said new checks on goods coming into the United Kingdom would damage the UK's position as an important trading nation and the drive to create high-payment employment. The Trades Union Congress's General Secretary, Francis O'Grady, said, "With goods coming into the United Kingdom facing new paperwork, we could see further supply chain chaos, potentially hitting jobs in affected sectors. Government must invest in the infrastructure and jobs we need now to prevent further disruption." Is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz. Every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran. Rubashavit Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
2021 has come to an end, but the battle for peace and justice still continues here. In the Indian-administered Kashmir, people are hopeless more than ever as things have slipped from bad to worse. The Indian government said Kashmir will return to normalcy when it abrogated its special status in August 2019. But after that, the region has seen an outburst of violence. Media reports say that over the last 3 years, nearly 900 people have been killed in the region. Out of these casualties, 580 were militants, 180 were government forces, and 125 were civilians. People here say they are not hopeful that the central government will bring them justice and treat them fairly.
People are often excited on New Year's Eve, but we are an exception. We are fearful of what might happen to us the next year, because this year was full of bloodshed. We only seek peace through dialogue.
We had terrifying experiences in 2021. So many lives were lost. The region's unemployment rate is highest in India. Some decisions were taken against the people of Kashmir, which were not expected. Now we seek nothing but peace. 3 decades of strife is enough.
Following India's move to cancel the region's partial autonomy, Kashmir has witnessed many changes coming without the consent of its people. For example, people who are not permanent residents of Kashmir were barred from purchasing property up until 2 years ago. But now, all Indians can buy property in the region. People here say the room for dissent is limited. Those who criticize policies of the government are frequently detained, so people of Kashmir are forced to be silent. In 2021, the region saw around 275 incidents of bloodshed, including civilians, militants, and government forces. Estimates say 189 pro-independence fighters have been killed in 2021, but authorities say challenges are still there.
Hybrid militancy is the biggest challenge for the year 2022. A major achievement in 2021 was the peaceful burial of Saeed Ali Gilani. 168 militants are currently active in Kashmir.
The Indian-administered Kashmir has been a bone of contention between India and Pakistan since the partition of the subcontinent in 1947. The two countries claim the region in full but rule it in parts.
More than 3 decades of low-intensity conflict in Kashmir has exhausted the region socially as well as economically. Almost every household in the region has suffered losses. New Year is no time for them to celebrate. Shahana Bhatt, Indian-administered Kashmir.
This gathering in Iran's town of Shahrareh is a tribute to a man who's known as the father of national security in Iran, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Ahead of the second anniversary of his assassination, Iranian people and senior officials gathered to commemorate him and mourn his loss.
General Soleimani is no longer with us, but his legacy will continue across the generations to come. His assassination is a huge miscalculation on the part of the US. He was an influential axis in the region, and his assassination led to the humiliating ouster of American troops from Iraq and then Afghanistan.
General Soleimani was the commander of IRGC's Quds Force, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He, together with commander of Iraq's popular mobilization units, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, was killed in 2020 in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump.
General Soleimani was the spearhead of the fight against terrorism in our region. So by assassinating him, the U.S. sought to dispose of him to allow the terrorists to roam freely in the region to serve the interests of the American government.
By assassinating General Soleimani, the U.S. thought in vain that it will stop his anti-terror activities. But in fact, Soleimani is still alive in the hearts of millions of Iranians who will continue his path stronger than ever.
General Soleimani holds a reputation for dislodging Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also led major operations in Syria that resulted in the recapturing of key areas from Daesh. His efforts made him known as the nemesis of the terrorists in the region. In 2020, millions of people in Iraq and Iran took part in his funeral ceremony to pay tribute to him and bid him farewell.
2 years into the incident, Iranians still mourn the loss of General Soleimani. They say they will not forget his endeavors in the fight against terrorism, something which earned him the title of a national hero and the guarantor of regional security. Yusuf Jalali from the town of Ray.
Iran's lead delegate to the Vienna talks, Deputy Foreign Minister Ali Bagheri Kani, says there's been relatively good progress over the past few days in the negotiations aimed at restoring the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA.
The main focus of the negotiations was sanctions removal. We had several meetings with the EU coordinator and the three European signatories, both on verification and guarantees.
Iran says it will go back to its nuclear commitments only after it verifies the full removal of U.S. sanctions. Tehran has also demanded guarantees that the U.S. will not withdraw from the JCPOA again or impose sanctions that violate the deal. A European source close to the negotiations says all participants agree that verification and assurances have to be reflected in the final document, but that there are still questions on how that is possible. So are these issues going to create major obstacles in the way of a final agreement?
Yes, it's a major problem because these European diplomats know quite well how verification can take place. It's not something strange. If the Iranians cannot use the banking system because behind the scenes the Americans are threatening banks, then that's a violation of the JCPOA.
Russia's lead delegate Mikhail Olyanov said he believed an agreement could be achieved in the first half of February, adding that although the discussions were difficult, there was steady progress.
General impression, business-like atmosphere, positive trends recognized by everybody, by all participants. We need to be patient, persistent in our efforts, and we will overcome all the problems.
Informal consultations are set to continue within the framework of the Vienna talks. The eighth round will resume after a 3-day break for the New Year holidays on Monday. Homa Lizki, Vienna.
France has broken the European record for corona infections, and nations across Western Europe are also reaching new daily highs as the pandemic has entered a new but seemingly less deadly phase.
The coronavirus right now is exploding right now in France. It's very scary to see. I saw over 200,000 infections in France in one day. So I'm nervous. I'm trying to get back to the United States right now, and I'm waiting for a COVID test right now. I'm very nervous. I want to make sure that it's negative so I'm able to get back home.
France currently has over 4 million active cases of corona, but 99.9% of them are classified as mild. Daily deaths are half of what they were a year ago, while shorter quarantines are being approved. Cases are soaring in part because many more people are getting tested prior to holiday gatherings, but France's hospital admissions are just a third of previous peaks. It appears increasingly certain that the new Omicron variant may spread like wildfire, but that it is significantly less lethal, causing many to have a cautious sense of relief.
Corona is mainly just a bad flu. It's only a serious risk for certain types of people. But for the overwhelming majority of people, if you get vaccinated, if you quarantine when you have symptoms, if you use common sense to protect yourself and others, then all will be fine.
The high transmission rate of Omicron does have some taking scientifically questionable steps not seen since the early days of the pandemic. Paris has just made face masks mandatory in all public places, even outdoors. Some nations, which aren't seeing an increase in cases, have banned public holiday festivities anyway. France, Italy, and other countries are debating making their health passes even more restrictive which many say is an abuse of personal freedom.
France has long been considered the most vaccine-skeptical nation in the world, but measures which amount to either get vaccinated or live in social isolation have coerced 80% of the country into getting vaccinated.
One fact appears vital. In France, the unvaccinated are far more likely to be in intensive care than those who have chosen to be inoculated. What many are hoping for in 2022 is that Omicron truly does herald the end of the lethal phase of Corona 19, which would render moot the controversies and uncertainties over how to best handle the long-running pandemic. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Heavy hits and intense rhythm are immaculately employed to play an epic melody that tries to induce an image of a hero in the minds of listeners. The image of General Qasem Soleimani. This symphony orchestra is performed in commemoration of the second anniversary of the assassination of former commander of IRGC's Quds Force, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani.
Tonight's event was an effort to use the beautiful medium of music to describe the character of a legend who is General Soleimani. Art is a universal language and it can easily connect to different nations.
Qasem Soleimani had many characteristics. To understand those features, we need different media and music can better reflect his epic aspect. The aspect that made him risk his life to make our region a safer place to live. So tonight, artists try to play their part in paying him tribute and admire his great character.
The orchestra was performed by the IRIB Symphony Orchestra, which is affiliated to Iran's national television. The pieces were conducted under the baton of Arash Amini, who believes music speaks stronger than words.
The music pieces that were performed tonight have the capacity to be played in different countries. It's music, and music can be understood by anyone, no matter where they come from. So I think it's the best way to acquaint the world with the personality of General Soleimani.
General Soleimani holds a reputation for the fight against terrorism in the region. He's hailed for dislodging Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. This earned him the title of a national hero in Iran. The country is set to hold nationwide commemoration ceremonies on the second anniversary of his assassination, slated for January 3rd, 2022.
There have been many events in the past days in Iran that tried to highlight the importance of General Soleimani's role in Iran and the region. These tunes try to communicate the same messages, except they use a more powerful language that needs no translation, the universal language of music. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Israel captured Syria's Golan Heights in the closing stages of the regime's 1967 war on Arab nations and annexed the occupied territory in 1981 in a move that was not recognized by the international community. The UN Security Council, in its resolution 497, adopted unanimously in December 1981, declared the Israeli decision null and void and without international legal effect. Nonetheless, former US President Donald Trump granted US recognition to Israel's sovereignty over the Syrian territory in 2019. The administration of current President Joe Biden, which remains critical of its predecessor for its unilateral approaches, has not taken any move to reverse the decision. Amid the U.S. blind support, the Israeli premier unveiled a plan on Sunday to double the regime's settler population in the occupied Golan Heights from the current 25,000 with a multi-million dollar plan. The land is rich in water sources. Naftali Bennett said the move has been prompted by the Trump administration's recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan and the Biden administration's indication that it will not soon challenge that decision. Syria has reacted to Israel's decision to expand the number of Jewish settlers in the occupied Golan Heights. calling it a dangerous and unprecedented escalation and a war crime.
Israel continues with its settlement policy and systematic violations, which are war crimes. The Golan Heights is an integral part of Syrian soil, and we will work to return it in full to